these folks a chance to. And while they're finding their place back at their pew, I want to ask you if you've took a look at the building outside. I think it's just wonderful. I'm so pleased with the way it looks. It's taken on a different look, and I like that. Kind of like a facelift, isn't it? Amen. It looks fresh and new, and I want to thank the Lord for it. Amen. A couple of more weeks or so, and we'll have the work, or they'll have the work, about completed, and I want to thank God for that. And probably the first meeting that we have out there in the new building will be our mother-daughter banquet. I'm excited about what that may be this year. We have a little bit more, I don't know what the flexibility in scheduling it because of the Mexico trip. They've changed the Mexico meeting to my best of my ability now till August of this year. And so May will be wide open to do what we need to do in the mother-daughter banquet. And I mentioned to Sister Hall that possibly, you know, that we could arrange a banquet this year where maybe we could have the banquet, have somebody come in and preach on Tuesday and have the banquet on Friday and maybe close out the meeting on Saturday or else let the preacher preach again on Saturday or let him preach on Sunday and carry the meeting on through that way. And hopefully maybe the Lord would use the meeting to help not only the ladies but the men of the church as well. Amen. All right, so you be a praying about that. Song of Solomon now, and chapter number 2 this morning. And we want to begin reading, as always, in verse number 1. There the Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Bless his wonderful name. If we were where we ought to be this morning, just reading that verse would put us in a state of worship and adoration that we have very seldom seen upon the face of God's earth. His left hand was under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. I thank you for what my heart has already experienced in the Sunday school hour, in the singing of the hymns of faith in the worship service. I thank you, Lord, for the special this morning and for the privilege of being amongst your people in fellowship. Now may the Spirit of God meet with us today. We've come to Bethel. We've come to the house of God. And Lord, we earnestly desire your holy divine presence in this place. I need a fresh touch of God upon me today, upon my body for strength and my soul for grace and glory, that I might preach thy word. Help us today to open our hearts. Nay, Lord, may the Spirit of the living God open our hearts today, that we might receive the truth of the Scripture and rejoice in it. Help us, I pray, to see great light and walk in that light, magnifying the name of our Lord Jesus as we go along this pilgrim way upon this earth. Help us in this hour now to preach the Word of God, and we'll thank you for every sinner that is converted, for every soul that is made right. Thank you for touching the sick and healing them and giving grace to the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is in verse number 6, where Solomon said, "His left hand is under my head." Now, before I go any further, I never saw this and it's down in my notes, but the bride didn't say his left hand was under my head. Is under my head. Present tense verb. It is still there. And his right hand doth embrace me. Notice there that she mentions both the right and the left hand of the Son of God. And if God would help me this morning, I want to preach for a little while on blessings and benefits. Blessings and benefits. The right hand of blessing and the left hand of His benefits. Now please stay with me. I notice some of you looking a little strange. But in verse 5, the church finds herself completely overcome by the amazing grace and the wonderful love of our Lord. She says there, "I am sick of love." I'm not preaching last week's message, but I do want to reiterate the fact that it would do our hearts greatly if we likewise could get sick of love. I'm talking about finding enough love in our heart for the Lord that we sought Him until we would find Him and then sold us our souls in the goodness of His mercy, of His love and His grace that He's bestowed upon us. And like I said, like eating banana pudding, just stay there and soul us ourselves in the love of God until we become sick of love. That's what the bride said. She said, "I am sick of love." And then she makes a request to the Lord for some support that she might stay in that position. Now, I want you to notice this because it's important for today's message. She said, "Stay me with flagons and comfort me with apples." That was her request. In other words, she said, "Give me some support that I might be maintained in my present state of ecstasy and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I never be moved from that wonderful position." But if you'll notice there that the flagons that she requests and likewise the apples are simply manifestations of the love and the grace of God. She said, "Stay me with flagons." That is, give me a manifestation of your love that it might support me. "And comfort me with apples." That is, again, to manifest your love and your grace in such a way that it might stay me in my present condition. I want to say to you, church, that the manifestations of His love is wonderful. I got just a little bit of it this morning while Benny was touching on reconciliation in the Sunday school hour. And how that being reconciled, that we now have peace with God our Father. Now I'm telling you, my friend, I got a tad bit of the manifestation of the love and the grace of Almighty God. But if you notice how wonderful our Lord is in verse number 6, she says, "Lord, just give me a manifestation. Just elevate my spirit a little bit. Just let me have a little bit of your glory." But notice the wonderful goodness of God toward that little bride in the land of the living. He does not answer her prayer the way that she thought it ought to be answered. When she made a request for the manifestation of His graces, rather than manifest that, He came to her personally. She said, His left hand is under my head, and with His right hand He doth embrace me. Rather than just manifesting Himself, my friend, with some divine attribute of His, He Himself comes on the scene to add the support to that little bride that she needs to remain in that state of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God that the greatest, single greatest need that we have at Island Ford Baptist Church, my friend, is for the divine, holy presence of God in this place. I want to say this morning, come, O breath, and breathe on these that are slain. May the wind of God, my friend, blow through this place this morning. We need a heavenly, divine visitor to walk up and down the aisles of this place this morning to do business in the hearts of God's people and bring conviction in the lives of the lost that they might be saved by the grace of God and that we might enjoy the divine holy presence of God in our midst. By the way, that's what reconciliation was all about. That we might enjoy His divine and holy presence. Man, I don't want to preach tonight, but I'm itching to get there. That Bethel, the house of God, that's wonderful. That's wonderful to come to Bethel. But I'm going to tell you, if we come to Bethel and El ain't around, it ain't going to help us a great deal. We need to come to Bethel and find the God of Bethel hanging around in the pew somewhere to nudge our hearts, to bless our souls, and to help us in our life, and then to correct us and embrace us as the bridegroom did the bride in verse number 6. Bless His wonderful name. His right and His left arms are here expressions of Christ's tender love unto His care of and regard for His church and His people. I'm glad that He loved the church and gave Himself for it. Doesn't say anything about the PTL club and didn't say anything about the 700 club. And the Bible, my friend, doesn't say anything about TV church and about home church. This crowd having church this morning on the sofa watching John Nagy or one of them other reprobates. Hey, that's right. If I could think of some more. Jack Van Impe and all that other reprobate crowd on television. Jimmy Swigert included. Amen to God. And all that crowd. You are not going to have church in your house. On television, He bought a visible, local, New Testament church that assembles down at Bethel where God's presence is divinely manifest that He might bless the hearts of His children and convert the souls of lost humanity to the glory of God. Amen. That's right, ain't it? If I said, I'm going to have church at home, you a lie and get you gone, and your mammy don't want you. You ain't going to have church at home. I can fare all right at the house. You a lying hypocrite. That's right. I never have seen His arms reach through a television tube. Or, by the way, a radio either. Need the house of God. That's right. Need the house of God. He cares for His people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Verse number 6, my friend, is a picture of the everlasting arms of Christ as He embraces those that He's come to redeem and He holds them securely and in security close to His own blessed, hallowed bosom, my friend. In verse 5, she gets support. But in verse 6, she gets security, honey. Somebody said, "Hell is that?" Because Jesus Himself said that no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. And I'm glad, thank God, that His left hand is under my head, and with His right hand He doth embrace me, and there's nobody can pluck me out of that position in Christ. That's wonderful. He holds us securely. That old junk of falling from grace and losing it, that's a bunch of junk. That's right. He said, "Of all that the Father giveth me, I've lost none, save the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled." He ain't going to lose you. Praise God. Hey, to lose you means to not know where you're at. He knew where you were before He saved you. How's He not going to know where you're at now? And I'm not giving you a license to sin either, you Arab. I'm going to tell you something. You can lay out in the world and sin and commit adultery and fornication, drink, carouse, cuss, dope, my friend, then come to the house of God, tell me you're saved by the grace of God. You're a lost man's what you are. Better believe it. No obedience, no submissive spirit, no humility, no, sir, no grace at all, no manliness about you whatsoever. Try to tell me you're saved by the grace of God. You've run with the dogs, you've caught their fleas, and the only solution you have, my friend, is get on an old-fashioned Baptist altar and get birthed again into the family of God. You don't know, when I preach eternal salvation, I am not giving you the right to sin. That's once saved, always saved. I can live ever how I want to and still be saved. Friend, you are grossly mistaken. He out here with his left arm and embracing her under her head, and his right hand under embracing her. He acts the part of a loving husband who's seeing his bride sick and ready to faint, hastens to her relief, embraces her in his arms, lays her in his bosom, and discovers the strongest and most endeared affections to her. Let me ask you something, men. How long's it been since you done that for your little bride? How long's it been since you put your left hand under her head and embraced her with your right hand and played the part of a husband and showed her some endearing, loving, kind, compassionate, tender-hearted affection? I'm telling you, as Christ loved the church, my friend, and gave Himself for it, even so your husband love your wife in like manner, and that does mean occasionally to show them a little tenderheartedness, a little love, and a little compassion for them. Let them know you love them. Be hard for Jesus, my friend, to prove to me He loved me, but He never did love me. I hope I didn't make none of you mad there. That's all right. Now, I want you to notice the left hand under her head. Now, in the Scripture, the left hand is generally considered the weakest. It is in most men. Occasionally, you'll see left-handed men. But even then, most of them do everything right-handed except eat. They eat with their left hand. Most of them, it is always mostly considered the weakest hand. And it's under the head. The lightest part of the body. Unless you've got one of them little heifers that's big-headed. And thinks she knows everything. She may be puffed up bigger than a barrel in the head. Like that heifer I saw in the newspaper yesterday. Man over prayed the invocation over at the House of Representatives over at Frankfort, opened up their session with prayer, and when he closed, he said, "Lord, said thank you in the name, the only name whereby sinners must be saved, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it showed some female heifer standing up to her little podium. She is a Jew. And she said, I don't like him praying in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, that it is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that heifer and every other sinner is going to have to bow their knees to Christ if they ever hope to get in the gates of glory. Hallelujah to God. Now that heifer's got a head problem. May take right hand, left hand, and a crane to hold her head up. Now notice also the right hand is generally considered the hand, or the hand is considered the hand of power. In his right hand, Jesus held the seven stars in the book of the Revelation. It is a hand of power. It displays power. And the right hand, which is the strongest, signifies God's blessings. Don't nobody leave me now. Which are eternal. They are the weightiest. May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, that my friend, that God's eternal blessings are far more weightier than those that are earthly or temporal that He bestows on you and I with His left hand of grace, my friend. The blessings are far more than the benefits. Troubles a lot of folks today, they want the benefits without the blessings. Now let that soak in on you a little while. I want to say that the right hand represents His eternal blessings. But the left hand represents or signifies benefits which are temporal. They will soon pass away. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you have any scripture for that?" I'm glad you asked me. Proverbs 3:16. The wise man Solomon, when describing wisdom. Somebody said, "Well, he's talking about wisdom." Yes, but Jesus, both the wisdom and the power of Almighty God. And Solomon, the wise man, when he was talking about wisdom, he said, "Length of days is in a right hand." Length of days, God's blessing, eternity, the eternal blessings are in the right hand of God's power. That's where they're at, my friend. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad. I want to preach, but I want to shout it out. I'm glad, thank God, that I have experienced the right hand of the power of God. Amen. And Christ at Calvary, when He died on the cross to buy my soul out of the slave market of sin. That's His name, boy. If I can stand it or not. Length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Oh, yes. Now, the length of days there is the blessing of salvation. The eternal blessings of God. The blessings of salvation. And they're eternal. Notice with me, Ephesians 1:3, and I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual," there's the word, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I'm here to tell you, friend, there is a difference between spiritual blessings and earthly benefits. But I'm glad, thank God, that in His right hand He embraces us with eternal blessings, and in His left hand He doth bestow upon us the earthly benefits that come from being a child of God. I'm glad I ain't no goat. You'll never find in the Scripture where He ever comforted a goat. He never went out looking for a goat. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. He looks for those who by nature have strayed from God like a lost sheep strays from the shepherd. And He goes looking for them. And when they're found, He bestows both eternal blessings, that is, of salvation, and gives us eternal benefits by bringing us into the fold of God, and they're keeping us, my friend, in the very fold of God, where we're comforted and helped and given grace every day of our life. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Don't leave me now. Riches and honor are temporal benefits. In his left hand, he's got riches and honor. In his right hand, length of days. Thank God, I'm glad I've got length of days. Miss Hall said last night, said, no people sit around and think about being sick. And just think about it, said it ain't long till they get sick. And they think about dying, it ain't long till they do die. You know, you can't hardly help but think of being sick when you're sick. But I'm trying not to think about it too much. I'm trying to keep my mind on God. Amen to God. But regardless, somebody said, well, if you die, it won't be, you won't live very long, preacher. Oh, whoa, you just don't know the Word of God. That's right. Though I be dead, yet shall I live. And the man that lives and believes in God shall never die, believest thou this? And God, I'm glad that through Calvary we can pass from death unto life. Hallelujah to God. Out of darkness into great light. Out of the grave into glory. Escape the power of Satan and enjoy the power and the presence of Christ in our life. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Well, this time Island Ford Baptist Church woke up. Has He embraced you with His right arm? Yes. With His left hand? Is it under your head? Yes. Have you experienced a blessing that you might enjoy the benefit? Yes. Now, I said the benefits are temporal. Somebody said, preacher, you got Scripture? Who daily, Psalm 68, and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us down with benefits daily. You don't get saved daily. Benefits come daily. They're temporal. Each and every day His faithfulness is renewed in my life. And every day God loads me down with temporal earthly benefits that He has decided to call riches and honor. Now don't leave me. Don't leave me. Now, He loads us down with benefits. Now somebody said, preacher, how come somebody's got more benefits than others? Well, one reason, some folks' wagon's not the same. Everybody's wagon's not the same size. Some of you folks, I hate to tell you this, but all you got's a spoon. Other folks, all they got is a 5-gallon bucket. Some folks has got a wheelbarrow. Other folks got a wagon. And I'm going to tell you, some folks got dump trucks. And He loads you down daily with them. Now look here. He'll load you down daily with as many benefits as your wagon will take. And I'm going to name some of them directly at the end of the message. And blessed be His name. If you let Him, He'll load them down until the axle tree breaks under the wagon. Some of you young bucks don't know what the axle tree is. Son, He'll load your wagon till the axle tree gives way. He'll make your wagon look like the sway back nag that somebody bet on. He'll buckle your knees. I'm telling you, God's good. His left hand of benefit is under our head, my friend. And with His right hand, He does embrace us with eternal salvation. Blessed be His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Riches there. And I am not a health and wealth man. But the word riches there literally means wealth that is accumulated. Or it grows. I'm not a health and wealther. But I want, hey, I want the one in this room that's got less now than you had when God saved you stand up. You got less now than you had when God saved you. You may have went through some troubled waters. And you may not be making quite as much money and salary now as you were making a while back. But you will have to confess that either your load has grown or remained the same. Riches and honor. Wealth and weight. That's what it means. Wealth and weight. He gives us honor and dignity. A man of honor is a man that carries some kind of clout, some kind of weight, and he carries clout with something besides the American Express card. Get the Visa Platinum. What I want with the Visa Platinum, I've got the heavenly gold. Hallelujah to God. That word honor means to have weight. Now look here. To further illustrate what I'm talking about, and I'll preach a message in just a minute. To further illustrate what I'm talking about. When Jesus was crucified, am I telling it right? They crucified two other men with him. Where were they according to the Bible? One on the right hand, one on the left hand. Is that right? What did the one on the right hand say? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He looked down the road, length of days, looked down the road and said, remember me. I'm looking for something out yonder. Look here, friend, my tent stakes are not down too deep. Bless God, I'm not looking for a lot in this world. My length of days is out yonder somewhere. I'm not a living for what I can get right now, although He does take His shovel and shovel in some every now and then. But son, I'm a looking for eternity. Bless His wonderful name. Brother Ricky, I'm looking for a street of gold. I am looking, my friend, for a mansion over just over the hilltop, not a cabin in the corner of glory land either. No, sir, I'm looking for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for life and that more abundantly. Oh, yes, I'm looking for a city that's got 12 gates, each one of one several pearl. I'm looking for a city, my friend, that's made of transparent gold. I'm looking for a city that has no need of a temple nor light. Cause the sun is the light thereof. Hallelujah to God. I'm looking to shuck this temporal mess I'm living in. I don't know about you, but I'm about sick of it. Miss Hall sitting out there studying this morning, she got up and she said, my God, I believe I got cancer of the back. I said, sweetheart, becoming a senior citizen can be rough. They looked at me the other day at the country club and said, anybody here 55? I said, not yet, ain't something. But I'm going to tell you, becoming a senior citizen, get rough. But I tell you what, I'm looking for that blessing. I may not ever preach a message. I'm looking for that blessing. Yes, sir, that eternal blessing. Somebody said, what? I'm waiting for the day. Like Job said, I wait for the day that my change will come. I'm longing for the day, like Paul said, when He'll change my vile body into a glorious body like His. I'll shuck this old temporal body to clay, my friend. Amen. And like Solomon peas, I shall have gold to be with God. Under the sky and beneath the trees lies the shell of Solomon's peace. He's not here, only the pot for peace shout out and went to God. Hallelujah to His name. Eternal blessings. Temporal benefits. Now that other thief on the other hand said, if you be the Son of God, save thyself and us with you. In other words, it didn't say a thing about remembering me in your kingdom. You know what he wanted? Benefits. Benefits without blessing. That's what that crowd in John 6 wanted when they saw the Lord when he broke that bread and fed all that multitude, that crowd in chapter 6, that's why he preached on the bread of life. They wasn't interested in eternal things. They wanted a loaf of bread to eat. A bunch of parasites. Suckers. What do you call them? Leeches that just want to stick on and suck everything they can. That's what a temporal mind and heart wants. What I can get now. Let me have her now. I want everything God's got for me, but I want it now. You ain't going to get it now. And you'll never have the benefit. You'll never enjoy the riches and the honor of a child of God in benefit until you first go to the cross and enjoy the blessing God gives. Now, the blessing of His right hand. I won't be long. You're already looking pale. The blessing of His right hand doth embrace me. I want to say, first of all, He blessed me, or He embraced us with His everlasting love. It said His left hand is under my head. And with His right hand He doth, present tense, embrace me. He embraced us with His everlasting love. Hey, through all eternity love. Before the foundation of the world, love. Oh. While I was a sinner, love. When I hated God, love. When I had that enmity in my mind with God, love. When I was vile and wretched, love. When I hated righteousness, love. When I cursed God, love. God loved me with an embrace me with an everlasting love. Somebody said, do you have Scripture for that? I believe I do. Saw Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness, He hath drawn thee. Woo! Because of His everlasting love, He drew us to Himself. Somebody said, why? Because of love, I'm telling you. He embraced us with the cords of kindness in His everlasting love. And by the call of the gospel, He drew us to Calvary. That we might be saved. Hallelujah to God. Isaiah 54:8. God gave me this verse of Scripture when I was going through one of the most trying times of my ministry right here in this church. I think the only person ever told about it was Ruth Back years ago. But Isaiah 54:8, He said, in little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. With everlasting kindness. He embraced us with that right hand of everlasting. Oh, may my Armenian friends get a hold of that God's love is so wonderful and great. That blessed right hand of power that shall never lose its grip on my never-dying soul. Even when the death angel sweeps across my brow and the host of hell assails my soul. Thank God the right hand of redemptive power yet embraces my never-dying soul in tender love and mercy. Bless His name, buddy. I feel God in my soul today. I feel like I could charge hell with a water pistol and put it out. Yes, sir. Now listen. I want you to listen carefully. We've just about outgrown this verse of Scripture. We've got so spiritual. But I want to say three things quickly. He embraced us with His everlasting love in His coming to this earth. Somebody said, what do you mean? Oh, just a little old simple verse of Scripture that we've got so big and spiritual that we've just about forgotten about. It's for little kids. Not for adults no more. For God so loved the world that He done what? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I want to tell you, my friend, there came a day in the mind of God, in the perfect will and plan of God, in the fullness of time, God sent His woman, our Savior, made of the seed of the woman, that He might redeem us from the curse of man. Now I'm going to tell you, nobody twisted His arm. My friend, they didn't search through heaven to find a Savior from the foundation of the world. It was satisfied in the mind of the great triune Godhead that the Son would come to this earth. And He comes to me and said, why? I tell you why. Because of His everlasting love that He embraced fallen humanity with. I want to say He embraced us with His love when He was on the cross. Yes. Romans 5:8, But God commendeth His love toward us. Yes. In that while we were yet sinners, what did He do? Christ died for the ungodly. Yes. Turn your old mind inward just for a minute. Yes. And look at your old ungodly nature, vile and wretched and against God. But yet with an everlasting love, an eternal love, He embraced you with the right hand of power. I'm glad that when He was on the cross, thank God I was on His mind. Hallelujah to God. With an everlasting love. On the cross, my friend. He loved you in His last dying words on this earth. The last seven words that He spoke upon this earth fulfilled the Scriptures. That's right. Revealed His great promise from the hid in God from the foundation of the world, that God would take for Himself a Gentile bride, you and me. Oh, what love. Jesus, lover of my soul, that yielded your life's blood in atonement for my sin and laid your life down that I might have life. Oh, bless His wonderful name. He loved us in this inner coming. He embraced us in His love on the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, He'll embrace us in His love when He crowns us with death. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, oh, is there a crown in death? Oh, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, my friend, 116:15, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I'm glad that when He crowns us, I said, death is a crown. It's a crown. It's a crown. It's an honor to die and go on and be with God. Paul said, it's far greater for me to go on and die than I might be with Him. That's a crown. And by the way, what's it say in Hebrews? He was crowned with glory for the suffering of death. Somebody said, when I get old and feeble, He'll forget all about me. Oh, no. I'm telling you, friend, as Abraham kept the birds, them old ravens that tried to get the sacrifice, He shooed them old ravens, which is a type of the demonic spirits and all the devils of hell. But He kept them away from that sacrifice. Now I'm here to tell you, by the way, the devil, my friend, wanted the body of Moses. Read it in the book of Jude. But I'll tell you, the archangel made no railing accusation, but simply said, the Lord rebuke thee. And I'm going to tell you what, my friend, when this body lays down in death, all of the imps and the demons and the devils of hell try to take your body. And if you are lost, man, they'll drag your body and soul off into hell without God, without hope. Somebody said, I don't believe that. You're an unbelieving, hypocritical devil that's going to die and go to hell if you don't believe that.
But I'm glad, thank God, the precious in the eyes of the Lord, the death of his saints. When one of us lays down on that deathbed and the demons of hell try to invade our room and drag our soul and body off into hell, I'm glad that our Lord still embraces us with the right hand of power. Now, I'm going to tell you, in that dying hour, my friend, he'll look the devil right square in the face and say, the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of glory, the first and the last, the only begotten of the Father, rebuketh thee. I'm not going to leave you in death. I want to say, not only does he embrace us, but does he embrace us with everlasting love, but he enlivens us by his life. Have you thought about life? How precious it is. Men will run all over the country trying to find a doctor to give them life. Their big toe hurts and they run to a doctor. Oh yeah, they want to live. We'll spend billions and billions and billions of dollars. The medication that I'm taking costs $14 a day simply for the medication for me. $14 a day, and there's 1,050 people in the world that's taking that medication right now. Not to mention the doctor visits and the nurses and all that for just one little old research on Parkinson's disease. You know why they're doing it? They're trying to find a way to give life. I wonder how much money is spent every year on heart disease, trying to find a cure for blood. Oh, I read the other day where somebody, an animal or something, a rat or something, they put a mechanical heart. Said it may be in the future. Said we have found the cure for life now, a mechanical heart that will function forever. And I thought, how stupid and foolish. I'm thank God I found a heart too. I'm about to get off it. Amen! I found a great big heart, my friend. The very heart of God that giveth life unto the world. Bless his wonderful name. Isn't that wonderful? He enlivens us. He gives life. Somebody said, what does he give life with? I'm glad you asked. I'm trying to hurry. He gives life by his word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How long has it been since you read it? I'm going to tell you something else he gives life with. Blood! I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture that we had to memorize to get out of the first year of Bible college. Memorize it with punctuation marks that most Baptists don't even know is in the Bible. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you. Where? Upon the altar. To make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, that the life of the Spirit is in His blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the water fountain. I say this on the authority of the Word of God. Every one of you water dogs out there that believes your baptism is carrying you to heaven, you lost and going to hell. And I hope every one of you hears that. You can be baptized in every name, son, including Bill Clinton. And that ain't going to save you. For the life is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood. That's His. He enlivens us with His Spirit. I want to say, thirdly, He enlightens us by His Word. You remember Jonathan, when he went into that great battle with the Philistines, and his father Saul said, if any man eats anything before the sun goes down, cursed be that man. And he swore it with an oath. And Jonathan began to pursue the Philistines, and all the host of Israel come after him and began to follow him. And they went through a woods, and Jonathan was not present when his daddy made that statement. But there's honey dripping out of the trees, and honey, my friend, all over the ground, just honey all everywhere. And Jonathan dipped that rod of his into that honey and lifted it up and put it on his mouth. And the Bible said there, when he put that honey on his mouth, the Bible goes on to say this. He said, wherefore? He put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. And his eyes were enlightened because they put the honey to his mouth. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? What's honey got to do with it? His Word is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when they went into that battle, God let His Word just drip all over the woods and all over the ground. And He gave it that they might partake of it. Amen! And have their eyes open. An old servant said, Jonathan, you've done wrong. Said, your daddy said, a man drank of that, eat of that, said, he's going to be cursed under an oath. And David said, my father has been a trouble to Israel. Said, we'd have had a great victory today if all Israel to eat that honey. And I'm going to tell you, friend, the problem with our Baptist church is the reason we're not having victory ain't nobody reading your Bible. You're never being enlightened. Some of you have not found the new truth in the Bible for God only knows how long. Some of you ain't never been enlightened in it. Y'all ain't going to leave me, are you? You know what that word there means? The eyes. He said, my eyes were enlightened. The word eyes means a fountain of understanding. And the word there enlightened means to set on fire. It's kind of like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 17 and 18, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened. That is to set on fire your understanding. Get a little understanding out of the Word of God. That is a spiritual blessing, an eternal truth to be revealed by the Holy Ghost out of the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, buddy, we need our spiritual eyes set on fire. Yes, sir, that we might see great and mighty things from the hand of God. Then I want to be just a minute, the benefits of His left hand. And I'm done. He enlarges us with benefits. I said a while ago that according to Proverbs 3:16, that they grow, they accumulate, they get to save more every day. That's right. Now somebody said, how do you know, preacher? I've already read it. Psalm 68:18, blessed be the Lord God who daily loadeth us with benefits. Have you got any put in your wagon today? Has there been a benefit? Somebody said, now I'm going to show you something. I want to read this first. I want to say that they're daily and they're delightful. Psalm 103, verse 2 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And if we don't forget them, that means we're thankful of them. Just let me ask you something more. When was the last time you thanked God for the breath in your lungs? Bobby Bolton, Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. The last breath of air in his lungs. Oh, somebody said, God certainly don't. That's not a benefit of life. How long would you make it without it, friend? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that's so simple. I don't consider life and death too simple. When was the last time you thanked him for the water in your drink? Well, this past summer, God sent a drought, and this bunch of idiots declared it a national disaster area. And a read on the little pager this morning that in Falmouth, probably a lot more Falmouth down there too, all the rain that came over the weekend, they declared it a national disaster area because of too much water. Disasters without water, disasters with water. I think one of the egg suckers got on their knees and thanked God for the water.
Oh, we got a drought! What are we going to do? And God sends rain, and they curse God for the rain, He said. No wonder America's going to hell tonight. We have forgotten our God and the fact that He daily loads us down with benefits. What about the minerals that He's given us? What about the natural minerals that He's blessed America with? And yet we're one of the vilest, wickedest, most ungodly nations on the face of God's earth because we've forgotten the benefits.
Puts coal under the hills of Kentucky, and we want to cuss God for it because it makes ruts in the highway. Want to cuss God for it because it stirs up a little bit of dust. We don't thank Him for the coal that He gives. We don't thank Him, bless God, for the money it provides. And we don't thank Him for the money it's spent down here to other businesses to keep other people. All we can do is cussing for it. And Bill Clinton and that crowd of Democrats ain't a bit better. And I hope that Cain gets his tail end whooped. He ain't nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a Democrat. He's a Democrat that married a woman 18 years younger than him while his wife lay disabled from a car wreck, and she's still disabled. But that bunch of liberal Democrats, and that's what I can't understand, why the Union Hall wants to support every liberal Democrat that comes along, and they pass every rule and regulation in Washington to eliminate the coal process from Kentucky. Now go on and vote for them if you want to. It is the liberal Democrats that have been so unthankful for the coal in Kentucky that they passed laws where we cannot use what God blessed us with. Amen. What about the water to cool and cleanse it? Do you thank God for that shower you got in this morning? You just take it for granted. How about the clothes to cover your nakedness? By the way, thank you, Lord. And thank you, church. I think I look like an uptown pastor. I want to thank God for it. I can remember when I bought my suit from yard sales. Didn't matter whether they made it or not. I didn't know what a suit was, but I wanted to do my best and look my best for Jesus. Then I come into church one Sunday with a big white one on. They said it looked like Harlan Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, man. I went, Brother Nolan, one night, are you ready for this? And I had on a pair of black pants and a big bright yellow coat and a black and white and yellow striped necktie. Brother Nolan said, I believe God's calling you into evangelism. I said, God, I said, why is that, Pastor? He said, well, you just dress like an evangelist. I took that as a compliment. I didn't realize that what he was saying was I looked like a Christmas tree. But look what Jesus has given me. Big walking closet full of clothes. There was a little boy going to school. I had to wear patches on the clothes and holes in my knees and pants. Took commodity cheese. Now I'm wearing Hart Chef and Mark's suit. And even steak. Isn't God good? Isn't His benefits wonderful? Our food to nourish us. What about the sleep? When's the last time you thank God for a good night's sleep? If I could count them, and I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me, but if I could count them,
I told Brenda, without exaggeration, I woke up at least 50 times last night thankful. I can't sleep now. There's no sleep. My mind, I guess that junk won't let me sleep. I can't sleep. Better be thankful if you can lay down in bed and wake up feeling refreshed instead of waking up feeling like you've been run over with a Mack truck. You know what they told me? When before you ever get out of bed in the morning, pull your knees up, stretch them, pull them, stretch. Get out of bed and 250 and fall and bust your head. You better thank God you can rest and get up refreshed. God's given you good health and a halfway sound body. You ever praise Him, Father? What about houses to protect us? Locks on the door. What about your friends? The dearness of friends. You ever thank God for you got a friend? I got on my face Friday. And I thank God for every person in this place who's been a friend. I'm going to say something, folks. Everybody's not our friend. But if you've got a friend, if they're dear and true, you better thank God. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. A friend loveth at all times. A friend knows everything about you and still loves you. A friend knows when you're right and when you're wrong. He can take when you're wrong, when you've done your best and failed, and put your arms and put his arms around you and say, I still love you. Well, then, friend, God help us. What benefit? What about just the sufficiency of appetite to eat? I watched my poor old daddy set up at that table. He said, I don't like this stuff. And I said, Pop, you got to eat something. He said, let me have him pieces. He's got a spoon about that big round on the handle and curve, and he's trying to eat something. He's got my brother most times feeds him. And he's feeding them pieces, and I look over on him and they mash up. He can't swallow it. That part of your muscles. And you get to where you can't swallow food, so they chop it up real good so you can get it down your throat. And they had two pieces of bread laying over us. And I raised one of them up, and I said, look there, Pop. I said, you got some meat under that bread. He said, yeah. It stays under that bread. I don't want that stuff. No appetite. I'm going to take some words. That's a benefit from God. Son, Benny, y'all think I eat? Don't be around that boat. Miss Hall and I took the coupons y'all give us for our anniversary and went over to Cracker Barrel. And I couldn't help but think of the night Steve and Ricky and I come back from Brother Nolan's and we stopped and been up to see my daddy and we stopped in the Cracker Barrel up at Sellersburg, Indiana. And they got to eating, and I am not lying now. You, right back there is an eyewitness to it, but Stevie knows I'm there. That boy sitting back there. Son, he put down the food and then wanted dessert. They brought him a chocolate thing or something, though. It must have been that big. He ate it all. And never batted an eye. Got up and said, boy, I like a Cracker Barrel. Ain't that right? Was I telling it right or not? That's right, ain't it? And was walking around back there the other day saying, praise God, let's go. But there's at the house. He said, let's go to Cracker Barrel, Steve. Praise God. He said, if you're buying, I'm going. You know what that is, folks? Hey, there's people all over the world so sick in their little old frail bodies that they can't take a bite of nothing. Would love to eat if they could eat. Benefit. His left hand is under my head with temporal riches and honor. And with his right hand, he does inspiration with his family. Yeah. The blessings and the benefits, and they come in that order. Let's stand together. I've tried to interpret these verses of Scripture one at a time to the best of my ability to you. I've taken thoughts from Mr. Gill, maybe a thought, and try to develop that into a message.
And I think he had a great insight into that book.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. How strong is the axle for you? How big is your wagon?
Carrying a full load today. I'll tell you what, his shovel is bigger than yours. He'll just take time to reckon them up and count them. His shovel is a lot bigger than yours. It's like many citizens do. We've been reconciled in this life, and we might enjoy eternity in his divine presence. When we see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And we'll not be afraid. There will be no fear because perfect love casteth out fear. And there will be no enmity because the Lord Jesus is our peace. Bless you.
Amen.
Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. Privilege to preach. To do my best to describe the left hand of your benefits and the right hand of your blessings. Temple and eternal. I thank you for telling me for your precious blood, for the life that you gave, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You gave your blood, therefore you died. Your flesh is dying. And in your body, you bear our sins. And I'm grateful for that. Help us now in these moments to work in our hearts. Revive us, save sinners. Please save sinners. Please send the move of God to this community. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is that verse now?
295. 295. In this songbook. Let's sing a verse of that invitation. Maybe you're here or by the radio or somewhere listening on the internet. And you've never come to know him until pardon this thing. You've never recognized and realized his precious love that he has to you. Let's sing this morning. Go to George and sing. I appreciate you singing that. I appreciate everybody being here this morning in God's house. And appreciate your attention. You'll be praying for tonight's service at 6 o'clock.
And at 6:30 we have our worship hour. Come prepared to meet with God and let God work in your life. Hopefully, love to come in. I wish that I had a better vocabulary than I've got, greater learning and knowledge to understand my life, which found in a greater way on his wonderful life. I believe that magnifying Christ can solve all cures the house of God if people just call him over. God bless you for being here.